I'm Ogier, postdoc working at WCA. So today I'd like to talk about the evolution of dark matter subhalo orbits in the growing host halo potential. So here is the plan of my talk. So after a brief introduction, so I will talk about the evolution of subhalo orbits, and then so based on the result, I will discuss the spatial distribution of subhalos in the host, larger host halo, and also discuss the mass evolution of subhalos in the tidal field of host halos. So, first introduction. So, this is a image, a beautiful image from the cosmological n-body simulation. So, this image shows a dark matter density distribution in the simulation. So, in the center of the figure, so we can find the galaxy cluster-sized dark matter halo, and also we can find dark matter filament structure, so in this direction. Along this, along the filament structure, so we can also find lots of smaller dark matter clumps, the so-called dark matter subhalos. So along this structure, so such dark matter subhalos are accreting into the larger dark matter host halos. And the main subject of our study is the orbit of such dark matter subhalos. So why do we care about the orbit of dark matter subhalos? So first, subhalos are promising probe for studying the nature of dark matter particles. For example, the distribution, spatial distribution and mass sensitivity depends on dark matter models. And also, subhalos are the host of satellite galaxies. So such satellite galaxies should be the building blocks of larger and brighter galaxies and galaxy clusters. So, and subhalo orbits determines or alters their spatial distribution. And also, so their mass and structural evolution in the tidal field, tidal force field of the larger host halo potential. And perhaps the subhalo's orbit alters the time scale of the star formation quenching in satellite galaxies, and also their morphologies. By using cosmological simulations, subhalo orbits are actively studied. So assuming that the host halo is a spherical system, so subhalo's orbit can be specified with two parameters corresponding to the orbital energy and the orbital angular momentum. So for example, this figure shows the probability distribution function obtained from the cosmological n-body simulation. And by following the convention, we use a pair of dimensionless parameters. The first one, xc, describes the orbital energy of subhalo orbit, so where RC is the radius of a circular orbit having an orbital energy of E, and R200 is the virial radius of the host halo. The other parameter, eta, describes the angular momentum of the subhalo orbit. The L is the actual angular momentum, and LC is the angular momentum of the circular orbit. So then the evolution of subhalo orbit. Actually, what cosmological simulations have studied is the subhalo orbits at the time of accretion. But so after accretion, subhalo orbits can evolve with some relevant physical mechanisms, such as dynamical friction or self-friction. Self-friction means the additional drag force caused by the stripped material from the subhalo itself. And in this study, we focus on the impacts of growth of the host halo potential. So by using the model by Correa et al. 2015, we can describe the expected mass growth mass assembly history of dark matter halos by giving the final host halo mass. So this shows the expected mass accretion history as a function time for different final mass host halos. And in this study, we assume that the host halos are always following the Navarro-Fenn quiet density profile. And so by using this mass accretion history and the concentration mass redshift relation by Rudol et al. 2016, we can determine the, we can specify the structure of host halo at a given redshift. So to study the evolution of subhalo orbit, we use a series of a set of simple simulations. So in the simulations, we throw 10,000 subhalos every delta redshift 0.1 into the host halo potential. So the initial subhalo position and the velocity vectors are based on the probability distribution function of the orbital parameters. And then we numerically follow subhalo's orbit by solving n individual one-body problems. So the host halo potential is an analytical one, but it is time-changed. And so here, so for simplicity, so subhalos are massless particles. So we neglect interaction between them and also interaction between subhalo and host halo. And also no dynamical friction and same friction in the simulations. So the goal of our study is to obtain the empirical relation for the two orbital parameters with four variables, the redshift, lapsed redshift since the accretion, and the final host halo mass, and the initial values of two orbital parameters.
Like so, this eta you said again was the angular momentum.
This is angular describes angular momentum. This is
and the host you're describing as spherically symmetric.
Yes, yes.
But actually, I mean, you know, these halos are not spherically symmetric.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So L is not conserved.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess.
Yeah, So in this study, so we assume so the spherical host halo potential, but triaxial host halo potential could be a possible future study. So
right, but you would imagine it will change the answer for this.
Yes, of course.
Or the size of the signal.
Yeah. Agree. So yes, actually, so this result quite depends on the our assumption. So this is the evolution of eta. So we found that in our simulations, so the parameter eta is almost conserved because so as Neil suggested, so the host halo potential is spherical, so L is conserved, and so in such spherical systems, we can find some adiabatic invariant. So so one may define adiabatic invariant like this. And so this is also well conserved. So because of that, so eta is also conserved. the next is XC evolution. So we found that XC primarily depends on the lapsed redshift since the accretion, but also mildly depends on the initial XC value and the final host halo mass. And blue points represents the simulation results, and orange points are the prediction by the fitting function we have found. And so the fitting function reproduces simulations well. So there are two mechanisms driving the evolution of XC. So the first one is growth in the virial radius of the host halo. So recall the definition of the parameter XC. So the virial radius of the host halo increases by a factor of 10 or even 100, depending on the final host halo mass. And so this is driven by the growth in the host halo mass and also decrease of the cosmic background density. The second mechanism we found is adiabatic contraction. So when the potential variation is much slower than the orbital period of particles in spherical systems, so we can find this adiabatic invariant, which is proportional to angular momentum squared. And so the upper panel shows the adiabatic control. So one may define adiabatic invariant at RC. And so the upper panel shows that in most cases, it is conserved at the 10% level. And because of the mass growth of the host halo and its structure evolution, so actually, so the mass enclosed mass within RC increases, which leads to the decrease of RC. So, but the effect is subdominant, so by a factor of up to maybe 2. So then we apply our result to the spatial distribution of subhalos. So spatial distribution of subhalos is also studied by cosmological end-body simulations. So for example, Han et al. 2016 advocated based on the data from the Aquarius cosmological simulation that so the subhalo number density profile is given like this, so where R is the distance from the center of the host halo, the Milky Way sized host halo. So N is just the product of the power law function and the host halo density profile. And the power law slope gamma is around the unity. So, this explains the simulation result quite well. But so they also tried to explain the origin of this function. So they assuming that so unresolved distribution of dark matter subhalos traces just traces the density profile of the host halo. And the second point is the key. So the tidal evolution after accretion can alter the distribution of subhalos. But as a relating concern, we have is actually the artificial subhalo disruption in numerical simulations. So we have performed more than 1,000 idealized n-body simulations. In each panel, the mass evolution of subhalos are shown as a function of time, and we varied two parameters, numerical parameters. The first one, epsilon, sets effectively the spatial resolution of the simulation. The other one, n, controls the statistical confidence of the simulation or the mass resolution of the simulation. And so in each panel, black line shows the numerically converged mass evolution of the subhalos, which we suppose as a correct answer. But the problem is that so the shaded region, orange or pink shaded region, it's parameters corresponding to the employed in the current state of the art cosmological simulations. So even if they have high resolutions, so the resolution is still not enough to properly resolve the dynamics of the subhalos. So, for example, in this panel, so the true answer is like this. So the subhalo is still surviving at 10 gigayears or so, but so the subhalo mass is subhalo is actually disrupted artificially in this case. So by using our numerical simulations, so we are actually free from artificial disruptions because we model subhalos just using massless particles. Now, so the number of subhalo is just based on the number of mergers, and the merger rate at given redshift is roughly proportional to the mass of the host halos at given redshift. So motivated by this merger rate, so we performed another simulation. And so this figure shows the radial distribution of the expected radial distribution of subhalos. And so in each line, so we restrict the subhalos based on their accretion redshift. So looking at so subhalos, considering subhalos, or more recently accreted subhalos, or redder lines, we can find larger cores. And also now we have the, we compare the number density profile to with mass density profile of the host halo. So considering that so subhalos accreted after redshift 2, the slope found in the power law slope found in the Aquarius cosmological simulation is very reproduced, the R to 1.3. So this result implies that so even in such high resolution simulations, subhalos accreted earlier are unresolved, or perhaps more subhalos may be found in the center of halos in higher resolution simulations, or so the host halo may be much clumpier than expected in the center. I mean, so the second application we have is mass accretion, mass evolution of subhalos in the tidal host field of the larger host halo potential. Particularly interesting example is the ultra diffuse galaxy in the group of large elliptical galaxy NGC 1052, the so-called DF2. So according to the abundance matching model, this DF2, the mass of the halo surrounding DF2 should exceed 10 times 10 solar masses. But some observers infer that the mass contained, dark matter mass contained in this galaxy is less than 10 to 8 solar masses. So this is a very unique and interesting object to study. So we proposed a scenario to form this such a unique object. So the tidal stripping may be a scenario to a formation path to form such interesting object. So here, so the bound mass of the satellite galaxy, DS2 progenitor is shown as a function of time. And we performed two numerical simulations. The first one, the blue one, the stellar component, stellar spheroid is embedded in the Caspi NFW halo. But in the red one, the stellar component is the same stellar component is embedded in a quad dark matter halo. So it has constant mass density region in the center of the halo initially. The quad halo is actually less tightly bound. And because of that, they are more sensitive to less robust to the, against the tidal force of the host halo. And considering quite radial and tightly bound satellite orbit, so it is possible to reproduce mass deficit range inferred by the observations. But so a caveat in our my previous model is I assumed the redshift zero when determining the subhalo structure and orbit. But so satellite galaxies must have accreted at higher redshift. So their orbit should be smaller than I assumed. So more frequent and more efficient mass loss is expected. So even Caspi subhalos can achieve the dark matter deficit mass range. So again, so the tidal evolution is highly nonlinear physics. So we need numerical simulation, but we don't have to run additional simulations because we have the DASH database. So DASH database contains the data from the more than 2,000 idealized n-body simulations of minor halo mergers. And we also trained the machine learning model describing the mass evolution, tidal mass evolution of subhalos, which is quite accurate. And by using the empirical models, we can estimate the structural parameters of host and subhalos at the given accretion redshift. So here is an example of the expected mass evolution in the tidal force field, mass evolution of subhalos in the tidal force field of the host halo potential. So again, the bound mass of the halo is shown as a function of time. And we have three curves of three different accretion redshift, 1.0, 1.5, and 2.0. And the subhalos of higher accreted area have a shorter orbital period and also longer exposure time to the tidal force field of the host halo potential. So it is possible to achieve the inferred dark matter deficit mass range indicated by horizontal red line. But we also found that we need quite tightly bound and radial orbits, which is in the tail of the probability distribution function. And estimating the probability, so it is quite low, quite rare. So this is my summary. So we studied the growth of we studied the evolution of subhalo orbits in the growing host halo potential. And and also studied the radial distribution of subhalos and mass evolution in the tidal force field. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
I have to thank all the UW speakers for being so incredibly on time. I don't know how you do it. Any questions? Yes.
Can you explain a bit better? I realize that quite well. So when you do this like a massless particle in a host halo, and then you like increase the mass of the halo over time, do you do it like gradually, smoothly?
Yes.
And does the, well, actually, since these are, just wondering, like these subhalos you're putting in, they're massless, right? Yeah.
So
the realistic thing, you would like put subhalos or the real mass that should correspond to the increase of the host mass.
Yes, it is actually. So, in reality, it is corresponding to the So the increase in the mass of host halo corresponds to the number of subhalos or accreted mass. Yeah, but in our simulations, we neglect it. And so, because this is just an idealized model, so we can, the number of subhalo particles we threw into the host halo potential is a free parameter. So we can increase or decrease it as we want.
Right, but what happens when you like increase the mass? Do you do it like suddenly and leave this part?
So the interval between the change of the potential, host halo potential is 0.1 delta redshift equal 0.1. But So we varied it a lot, but the result is insensitive to this parameter.
Mm-hmm.
So the potential variation is smooth enough.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Who's the next speaker? Could you come in for that? Any more questions? Okay, let's thank Go again.